A very good morning, and I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18, and we're looking today at verse 24 to verse 28. Right, Acts chapter 18, verse 24 to 28. The message is entitled, "A Wise Man Will Hear and Will Increase Learning." It has been said, or is a common quote, that in this world, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Now, you may or may not agree with this statement, but it is a general observation that people make, that the rich have the means to get richer, they have that financial understanding, and they have the ability to invest and to accumulate more wealth. Whereas the poor, they are stuck in the rut, and they are struggling to make ends meet, and every decision they make causes them to struggle further and further. The system seems to be against them. Now, whether you agree or not, or whether you think that it's right or fair, well, that's another matter. But when we come to the Bible, the book of Proverbs teaches us, and this is a very loose paraphrase, that we have a principle whereby we can say that the wise get wiser, but the fools get more foolish. Foolisher, that's such a word. Why do I say that? Because the Bible teaches us that. The title that we have for this morning's message, "A Wise Man Will Hear and Will Increase Learning," may be familiar to you, because this is from Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. What does it teach us? That because a person is wise, he is willing to learn. He will hear. And as he hears, he increases in his learning, he increases in his knowledge and his understanding. And he will, yes, become more the wiser. Right? The full verse reads, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels." That means he will be very receptive to the wise counsel, the wise advice, the good biblical counsel that the people around them give him. And he will increase in his learning. He will become more wise. But the fools, what does the Bible say of them? They despise wisdom and instruction. They are the ones who are what the Bible calls a scorner. He will not hear. He will not listen or receive rebuke or instruction. He's not interested in learning. He thinks he knows. He is proud. And he will not increase in learning. And what is the result of such a person? If you despise wisdom and knowledge, of course you get more and more foolish as the years and days go by. And so, yes, the wise will get wiser because of their wisdom. They have a desire to learn, but the fools, they become more and more foolish. They begin to make more and more mistakes in their lives, and every decision that they make only sends them further and further down the paths of foolishness. And so as we consider this topic this morning, we have to, of course, ask ourselves, am I the wise or am I the fool? And I'm sure all of us would like to think of ourselves as wise, or being wise. No one wants to be regarded as a fool. But are we wise in the sight of the Lord? Or are we fools in the sight of the Lord? As we read in today's passage in Acts chapter 18, it is about this man known as Apollos. So we take a slight break from the Apostle Paul. We have been talking about him for quite a period of time. And we have a little glimpse of something that happened over at Ephesus, whom Paul, you know, sort of maybe had some brief contact with as he came to the Apostle Paul. We are not told, but we are told in the previous section that as Apostle Paul came to Ephesus, he brought with him this couple, Aquila and Priscilla. They were co-laborers together with him. They were fellow tent makers. And he has stayed with them for a period of time while he was in Corinth. And so they traveled together with him away from Corinth. And as he came to Ephesus, this couple remained there. And while they remained there, that's when they came into contact with this man known as Apollos. Apollos was one who, in the description we have in verse 24 and verse 25, by all accounts and purposes, an extremely talented, extremely gifted man, and one who was zealous for the Lord, but he was also a humble man. He was, as we will see in today's topic, he was that wise man. He was that wise man that was willing to hear, and he was that wise man that therefore then increased in his learning. And he became that much more effective for the Lord. I trust that is the desire of every one of us. That as we seek to be wise, and what it means is that we will be teachable. We will be keen to increase in our learning. We will be keen to receive instruction, willing to seek godly counsel, continually taught by the Word of God. That we will never reach a point in our lives where we think, oh, I know a lot about the Bible. I know so many things. I've read the Bible so many times, or I've heard so many sermons and attended so much Bible studies that I think I'm there. I think I'm good. I know enough. I've learned enough. That is the moment that we become fools. Now, we have to be teachable all our lives. We will want to continually desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that we may grow thereby. I trust that is the desire of every one of us. Every Lord's Day, as we come gathering the house of the Lord, it is with a desire that we will hear God's Word every single day of our lives. We will faithfully read God's Word. And we will read because we know that this is the nourishment that our souls require. And that we will hear the Word of God. We will hear God speak to us through His Word, and we will increase in our learning. That's what makes us wise, and that's what makes us to be able to increase in our wisdom. Because what makes a wise man? It is a person who knows. He is a person who understands. And when we're talking about biblical godly wisdom, certainly he is a person who knows the Word of God well and is able to apply it in his heart, in his life. And how can he be that? How can he be that wise person unless he does have the Word of God and he continually receives the Word of God? In contrast to that, the fools, who are they? As I mentioned just now, those who are proud, those who think they know everything, that they have all the answers, they don't need to learn anymore. That was not Apollos. The first two verses that we see here in verse 24 introduces to us a remarkable man, a description of one who was extremely gifted, extremely talented, and his heart was definitely in the right place. And so, you know, we can describe him right from the onset as, yes, already a very wise person, or one who was filled with wisdom because of how learned he was, but not just that, but because of how he had the zeal for the Lord. And that's Apollos. He was filled with wisdom. What is the description that the Bible here gives of him? Well, we're told that he was a Jew, but he was born in Alexandria. So that is outside of Jerusalem and outside of Israel. But where was Alexandria? Alexandria, if you know about it, is, well, in modern-day Egypt and, you know, North Africa. But in those days, it was really known as the center of learning. You may have heard of the Library of Alexandria, sometimes listed in one of those lists, one of those seven wonders. There are many lists of seven wonders. But it is often remembered as one of those of the ancient world. Because in the Library of Alexandria, it housed probably in their day the largest collection of books, of manuscripts, of scrolls, of writings of, well, the ancient known world. It was the largest and most significant library dating from around BC, 200 plus BC to about 200 plus AD. All right, so during the time of the Book of Acts, it will be right in the middle. In its heyday, you know, in its when it was you know, flourishing the most. And so because of this library of Alexandria, Alexandria as a city became known as the capital of knowledge and learning in their day. Scholars from around the world, you know, all the Greek philosophers and all those famous learned men, they will travel to Alexandria just so that they could study at the library. Of course, you know, in those days, a lot of these manuscripts, a lot of these writings, they were unique copies, only one of a kind or one, a few, because there was no photocopier machine, no publications, no printing press, no internet. And if you knew of a work, right, there will be that few places where that work will be kept, and you have to travel to that place to read. And if you're a scholar and you wanted to refer to many works, well, it'll be very troublesome if they were housed at different places. And so the Library of Alexandria allowed for one central place where all of learning could be had. So that's where all the scholars flocked to. And he was described as one who was born at Alexandria. He didn't have to travel there. From an early and young age, he was given access, or he had access to this library. All the scholars that would come, all the discourses and debates that they would have, that is the sort of exposure that this man, Apollos, had, born at Alexandria. And he was then described as an eloquent man. Because you can say, well, I mean, you could be in Alexandria, but not be a scholar, because there'll be all sorts of people in Alexandria. But he was described as an eloquent man. And this word eloquent, at least in the original, does not just speak about his ability to talk. Right? It's not just about the fact that he can phrase things very well, or he has an extensive vocabulary. It speaks about the substance behind his eloquence also. The fact that he was a very learned man. He was an expert of words, basically. Not just in terms of his vocabulary and his command of the language. It was about his what he had grown up learning. So it speaks of his very scholastic background. And he was learned, yes, the next line elaborates that it was in scriptures. But behind that was also, I'm sure, a base of all the scholarship of the world at that point of time. He was well-versed in many areas of study and learning. And that was this man, Apollos. In the eyes of the world, already someone who was very learned, a scholar. But he had a focus, perhaps or probably because of his Jewish background. He was raised as a Jew, and therefore he was also mighty in the scriptures. That means of all his learned abilities, he was schooled very well in the Word of God. Of course, at that point of time, it was just the Old Testament, right? The New Testament had not been written, or parts of it were still just in the process of being written. So when the Bible says he was mighty in the scriptures, it meant that he was, well, very, very well-versed, very learned in the Old Testament, probably comparable to the Apostle Paul, or maybe in some areas even better because of his background and upbringing in Alexandria. That was the Apostle Paul. Already at this point of time, yeah, one that we can say was filled with wisdom. Because, you know, it was not just the head knowledge that he had and the training that he had, or the innate abilities that he had, as verse 24 will teach us. Well, he was, in verse 25, described as one who was zealous for the Lord. And that, the importance of that cannot be overemphasized. Because if a person just has good training, good abilities, but no desire for the Lord, well, he can so easily become a fool. Why? Because he becomes proud. His heart is lifted up within himself, and he becomes full of himself. And that person cannot be used by the Lord. He is not regarded by the Lord as wise at all. But what does the Bible tell about this man? Verse 25 tells us that this man was instructed in the way of the Lord. What does that mean? What we'll see later on was that, you know, what he knew up to this point of time was concerning the baptism of John. Right? So what I meant, or what that means, is that he believed in the message of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist came preaching as that voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." He was the forerunner, as the Bible teaches us, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the herald proclaiming the arrival of the Messiah. And so as one who was very well-versed and learned in the Old Testament, he would have known about all the prophecies concerning the coming Messiah. He would have been looking forward to the fact that very soon, maybe in our time, the Messiah is coming. And he would then listen to the message of John the Baptist, telling him that he must repent, because John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance. He would have heard how there was already a man that was come, a man that John the Baptist pointed to and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He would have understood some of these things. And we'll see a little bit more of that. So he did believe. He did believe in the message of John. And it was that much that he was instructed on in the way of the Lord. Now, whether he was a direct disciple of John the Baptist, we are not told. But we also know from chapter 19 onwards that he was not the only one that was like that. There were others in Ephesus that were also, taught up to the knowledge of, well, who is the Messiah from John the Baptist, but they had not known further things concerning, at least in chapter 19, what we see concerning the baptism of the Holy Ghost, concerning the death, probably, then the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that entailed. They probably perhaps would have heard about the fact that Jesus has died, but they would not understand the significance of that. So Apollos' understanding was up to that point. And in a way, you say, through no fault of his own. He was zealous, and he was, desiring to continue to propagate the message of John the Baptist, which was a good and a right message, at least in his time. Okay, it's likely that he was, similar or together with this group, as we will see later on, that Paul has to speak to. And so he knew, or he was instructed, he was taught in the way of the Lord. But the good thing about him was that, you see, as much as he knew, he was fervent to propagate that understanding. So he was very receptive to everything that John the Baptist taught. And as much as he understood, right, the Bible says, being instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. So he was already a Bible teacher. He was teaching, as you will see later on, in the synagogues, at the gathering of the Jews. And he was telling them, "Oh, listen to the message of John the Baptist. Do you know that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand? The Messiah has already come. Will you repent? Will you repent of your sins?" I mean, that was the message of John the Baptist. Remember how he will tell the different groups of people that will come to him. "So if you are a soldier and you're a violent person, now stop doing that. Do not love violence now. Do not abuse your position. If you are a tax collector, make sure that you extract no more than you ought. Be fair, be honest." So he will be teaching these things. So that was, the service that he was rendering to the Lord at that point of time. And the Bible tells us that he was fervent in the Spirit. It's a good fervency. He was zealous for the Lord. That's what we saw of the Apostle Paul last week as well. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And we see another servant of the Lord here. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord as much as he knew how. Instructed in the way of the Lord, he taught diligently, taught carefully, taught accurately. Meaning of the word there. Very carefully, of everything that he had learned, everything that he knew, well, he faithfully transmitted that knowledge in the best way that he knew how. And as the Bible says, he was eloquent, he was learned, He was one who was able to cite scripture in his preaching. He was one who was able to collect all the understanding that he had and use it effectively for the service of the Lord. And it's really quite a remarkable description that we see about this man. I mean, in fact, compared to the Apostle Paul, I mean, Paul would later actually admit that, you know, he was not eloquent. Here it says that he was eloquent. Now, Paul will say, no, he was not eloquent. Paul will admit that, you know, in person, yes, people used to, in a way, sort of make fun of him to say that, oh, yeah, you know, your presence is not imposing. And you know, when you come, you're frail, you're weak. And yeah, you know, he probably was a person that wrote better than he could preach. Not to say that he was a bad preacher. He was an excellent preacher. And of course, the Lord used him, right, to, you know, propagate so many churches and to witness and minister to so many. But in terms of sort of the ability, you know, we only see it a few other times in scripture. For example, Moses. Moses was described in such a way, Acts 7:22. Right? Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and in deeds. But even a person like Moses, when he was first called, he was very fearful. Right? He says, I am not eloquent. I'm not eloquent. I am not able to speak. He was so timid. And he didn't dare to speak initially, and he didn't need Aaron to be by his side. Apollos seemed to have no such issues. He was confident and he was able to speak, preach boldly. As the Bible describes here, right? Verse 26, he spoke boldly in the synagogue. I believe that is telling on me, that is indicative of the ability that the Lord gave him. Jesus himself was described in such a way by his disciples. Luke 24:19. And he says, oh, we are speaking concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And that was Apollos. Comparable, in a way you may say, to people like Moses, one who led 2 million in the wilderness, one who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Comparable in his preaching and in his eloquence to the Lord Jesus Christ himself, mighty in word and deed, or as what we see of Apollos, he was eloquent, mighty in the scriptures, preaching boldly in the synagogues. And of course, I'm sure comparable to the Apostle Paul himself. And, you know, in such a situation, when a man is as well, you know, as learned and as well gifted as him, there is definitely a great deal of temptation to become proud, to think that, well, I know so much. I am able to preach so well. And I'm sure he had a good reception in the synagogue, and that's why he was permitted to be able to preach and continue to teach there. So he already had a platform on which he was able to teach and to serve the Lord. There were people that were listening to him. The Bible tells us he was humble as well. See, he definitely understood that there was a deficient understanding when it was pointed out to him. What was his deficiency? Well, as we started to mention just now, he knew only the baptism of John. The baptism of John. So what does that mean? As I mentioned just now, he knew of Christ as the Messiah, but likely did not fully understand all the implications or the significance of Jesus' death, his resurrection, his ascension, and of everything that happened, you know, from Pentecost onwards. Right? There was the filling of the Holy Spirit, the speaking of tongues, and the apostles and the disciples explaining why Jesus had to die, and that the fact that he rose again, and how is it that through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have forgiveness of sins and salvation. Now, it does not mean then that he was not saved at this point of time, because if you understand, you know, prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, how is a person saved? He did not necessarily understand everything there is to know about Jesus dying on the cross at Calvary. You would not know the specifics, but he would be able to look at the prophecies and the promises in the Old Testament and by faith look forward to the coming of the Messiah. I believe that that is the situation or the state that Apollos was in. By faith, he looked forward. By faith, he accepted all the preaching of John the Baptist. And by faith, he believed that the Messiah is indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just that he did not know all the further details. It's not taught to him. He was humble. Because when he understood the fact that he did not know all these things, or he did not know all the things concerning the way of the Lord, yes, he was receptive to receive more wisdom. And that is a wise person, you see. Despite the fact that he was filled with wisdom, he also understood that he needed more wisdom. He needed more wisdom, right? And so he acknowledged that. He acknowledged that he had some areas lacking that he perhaps did not fully understand, or he was not taught to him. And therefore, he had that willingness to learn. He had that willingness to learn. And that's what we see happening from verse 26 onwards, where he demonstrated his wisdom. That's the next thought that we have here. Despite being filled with wisdom and then acknowledging that he needed wisdom, the next step is that we demonstrate that wisdom. How? By learning, by being receptive to teaching. And that's the verses that we read at the beginning. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Or another verse in Proverbs 9:9 tells us, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. He will be yet wiser. That's what we said. The wise get wiser, right? Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. He will increase in learning. And so that's what happened. Verse 26 tells us that he was, you know, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, more completely, you may say. See, so what happened here, likely, was that, you know, he was there and he had been preaching or teaching for a while, telling people a good message that, you know, the Messiah is coming, the Messiah is Jesus. You must believe, you must repent of your sins. But he stopped short there. He did not give the full and complete gospel as was necessary by this point of time, because Jesus had already died. Jesus had already risen from the dead. And therefore, the message of the gospel was going forth. It was needful to know and to learn all of these things in order to be that complete or perfect. That's the meaning of the word perfect, right? Complete minister of the gospel. And so Aquila and Priscilla heard him. Remember, Aquila and Priscilla, they had spent more than a year with the Apostle Paul. And so they would be very well versed, you know, particularly in the gospel itself. Right? And understanding that they were now in this very unique transition phase, moving from the time of the Old Testament to now the New Testament. Understanding now that, well, there is further revelation given through people like the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul would have instructed, taught very, very carefully concerning why is it that through the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we can be saved. These were some of the doctrines that the Apostle Paul had very carefully instructed people like Aquila and Priscilla throughout their time at Corinth. And so as they sat and they listened to the teaching of Apollos, they saw in him that potential. They saw in him that zeal, that fervency of spirit. They saw that he was mighty in scriptures, and he was very keen to know the way of the Lord. What did they do? They took it upon himself to guide him, to help him, to instruct him. You know, he could have at the point of time looked at them and say, who are you? What are your credentials? What? Tent makers? Tent makers? Oh, you're just crafters, you're just people that work with your hands. I spent my childhood in Alexandria. I was schooled by all the top scholars in my day. What are you to teach me? New things? I know. I have heard from the best of the best. But he did not have the attitude. he demonstrated wisdom in that while they took him and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly, he was receptive. He was keen to learn. He was open to new ideas, at least ideas insofar as they are in line with the word of God. And surely, he would have been like the Berean Christians, to search the words of God, search the scriptures daily, to compare what Apollos, what Aquila and Priscilla was teaching him with what the word of God said. And as he studied and as he listened to them, he began to understand better. He began to understand more. He began to realize and know that, well, this is the full and complete gospel. It was something which, whereas previously he had looked forward with the eyes of faith, but not having a complete and detailed understanding and ability to explain everything concerning the Messiah. But now, as Aquila and Priscilla would sit down and expound to him these things and teach him, the light began to shine in his heart. Just as the light has shone in the hearts of the Apostle Paul on the road, after he got struck down the road to Damascus. But in a way, he was better than Apostle Paul up to this point of time, because Paul had refused to acknowledge Christ. He had rejected the whole entire notion of the fact that Jesus is the Messiah, and he was going around killing Christians, right? So that was the difference there. Apollos was actually already very receptive to the message of John the Baptist. It's just that he had not the opportunity to hear more. Excuse me. And so he responded with humility and with wisdom. And that is something that we all need, because I'm sure all of us have to admit that we are not perfect in our understanding. Some of us may have been Christians for many years, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years even. And we have heard thousands and thousands of sermons in our time. Yes, we thank God for all these opportunities for learning. We may have read the Bible many, many times over, yearly. You may say, for the past 50 years, I've read the Bible at least once a year. But does that then mean that we can rest on our laurels and think, I don't need any more instruction? I trust none of us dare to say that. And there will always be areas that perhaps we don't know well or fully understand. You can read a passage again and again. And each time, you see, the nature of the Word of God is that we can grow and have fresh insight on portions of Scripture. Because of perhaps your changing circumstances in life, you are facing different things at different points of time in your life. And the Word of God has something fresh, something new, something different for you. You are increasing in your maturity and your ability to understand spiritual things. And so we read it once, we pick out some things, and we read it again, we pick up more things. Read it a third time, a tenth time. And then again, fresh insight, fresh understanding. It's not that it's something completely new or different. It's just that we are going deeper and deeper into the Word of God each time. Or perhaps it is areas that we may have a blind spot to. Sometimes that's how we are. We think we know, we think we are very well versed. Maybe there are blind spots in our lives, areas which we don't realize that, yeah, actually maybe I'm disobedient or maybe sinning in certain aspects. We all have that. I have that as well. And sometimes we need that counsel. We need that guidance. Someone sits us down and says, hey, brother, sister, there are many things that I admire about you and the many things that you're doing right. But there is this area of your life that perhaps you may have missed out or overlooked. This is what the Word of God says concerning that. And your life is not in line with Scriptures in this regard. How will we respond? You can be proud. Yes, what do you know? You don't understand. Oh, my situation is different from your situation. You have no right to judge me. We can respond in such a way. Or we can respond with patience and humility. We can carefully listen to what this brother or sister in Christ has to say. That out of love, they come and they share these things with you. We be receptive. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend, as the Bible tells us. The kisses of the enemy are their deceitful. But if a friend cares for us enough, loves us enough to want to sit down and to tell you things or share things with you, try to guide you in a certain way, we'd be very thankful for such people in our lives, as Aquila and Priscilla were to Apollos. In the fact that they set him down and to expound these things to him, it took no small, I'm sure, amount of courage to see a person as outstanding as Apollos. I'm sure a person of stature already preaching in the synagogues at Ephesus. To sit him down and say, hey, you know, there are certain things that maybe you don't fully understand or you have not fully been taught of concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and who is he and who he ought to be to us and how we ought to speak concerning him. And maybe to point to certain passages in the Old Testament to say that you see, you know, when Jesus hung on the cross, this was being fulfilled. This was being fulfilled. And when Jesus rose from the dead, now these other prophecies were being fulfilled. And therefore, this is the full and complete gospel that you ought to teach. You could have pushed them aside and say, hey, don't you dare school me about the Old Testament. I am mighty in scriptures. I'm learned. I'm eloquent. He didn't respond that way. How about for us? Are we wise? Because a wise person, he will know that he needs more wisdom. And he will demonstrate that wisdom in his receptive, in how receptive he is to further instruction, to further learning, so that we can be more perfect in our understanding of God. Because at the end of the day, I'm sure that is all of our desires, all of our objectives, that we want to be better Christians. We want to be people that understand the Lord better and better, more and more each day. I'm sure that was the heart of Apollos. As he sat down together with Aquila and Priscilla, and as it were, they were shining a light on scriptures for him. His eyes were open. He would have been so thankful for such love shown toward him by this couple. The patience that they had, the courage that they had to teach him the things that he needed to learn. And so he was willing. He was willing to learn. And what was the result of that wisdom? What was the result of that willingness to learn and the humility that he exhibited? The Bible tells us then he was able to now dispense wisdom. That's the final point. He was a person that was filled with wisdom. He was already wise. But then he needed more wisdom. And he demonstrated wisdom by that willingness to learn, right? Because he knew that he needed wisdom. He was lacking in certain aspects of learning. And now finally, he was dispensing that wisdom, because that is what a wise person would do, isn't it? He will see the need to help others with that wisdom. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't say that I am so wise, I'm so learned, I know all these things, but then you keep it to yourself, then what's the point? What's the point? A wise person will also be one that is very willing and happy to help others around him. So that's what we see him do, these final few verses of this section. So after he had sat down with Aquila and Priscilla, and he had received all these teaching and understanding, somehow God's will was, you know, directed him to Achaia. And where was Achaia? As I mentioned, there was that little narrow strip of land from which Corinth was the central region or the capital of that region of Achaia. Okay. So when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, he was moved, probably by the prompting of the Spirit, to move to Achaia. Possibly the Lord's will, the Lord knew, right, that Aquila and Priscilla is there. And in time to come, Paul, the Apostle Paul, will return to Ephesus, and he will stay there for a period of 3 years. And Lord's will was that, you know, he needed someone to go over to Achaia, to Corinth, to guide the new church there. And in time to come, we will see how Corinth will be a place that had a lot of troubles, a lot of troubles. Gave the Apostle Paul himself no small amount of headache. He had to write numerous letters and make numerous visits to them. But the Lord's will would be that Apollos will be the one to come and fill the gap. And after being taught by Aquila and Priscilla, he now had the full and complete gospel to share. He had a good understanding already of the Old Testament and now understanding all the facts of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was now ready to fully and completely, effectively serve the Lord. So the place of calling that the Lord had for him was Achaia, right? And so when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him. And so that's likely what Aquila and Priscilla did for him. Gave him, well, a cover letter of sorts, so to speak, right? Recommending him to the brethren at Corinth. Say, receive him well, right? This man knows the word of God well, and he is able to come and help you, able to come and preach and teach to you. And so in a way, he became then the new pastor of the church at Corinth. Okay? And so they said, please receive him. And when he got there, the Bible says, when he was come, help them much which had believed through grace. A wonderful thing. And he was helped by Aquila and Priscilla. Because he was wise, he increased in learning. He was very receptive to their help. And now, having increased in his wisdom, he was now able to be that much more effective, that much more useful for the Lord here now in Corinth. The point where the Bible says he helped them much. He helped them a lot. What a wonderful thing. I mean, that's what wisdom is for, isn't it? That's why we increase in learning. Not so that we can keep it to ourselves, not so that we can pride ourselves with the knowledge that we have. That's useless. If we just keep it to ourselves and not share. Oh, we increase in our learning so that we can become more effective servants of the Lord, so that we can serve the Lord in the various ways that the Lord has called us to. And yes, not all of us will be called to a teaching ministry. Not all of us will be called to, you know, be in that position where we are going to expound the word of God more perfectly. But there are other ways and many different ways and means in which we are called to serve the Lord. But in all these areas, and I say yes, every area without exception, we need wisdom. We need wisdom. Because wisdom is effective and useful in all areas and all aspects of our lives. When we increase in our wisdom, when we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, when we grow in our spiritual maturity, it is very certain, it is assured that we will become more effective for the Lord. We'll be able to serve the Lord better. And that's what was happening here. With his newfound learning and his new understanding, he became that much more effective for the Lord. And the Bible says he helped them much. Why? For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now he understood everything, and all the aspects of Jesus being Christ, he was able to now teach. He was able to mightily convince. I mean, he became a very powerful orator, a very powerful apologist for the Lord Jesus Christ, comparable to the Apostle Paul. Right? Able to, as the Apostle Paul as well, cite scriptures, cite the Old Testament with such powerful accuracy. I remember in those days, they didn't have all the Bible tools that we have today. With a click of a mouse, you click one verse in the New Testament, you have all the scripture references of the Old Testament and where it came from or what it's alluding to, or some verses that are related in thought and idea. They didn't have any such reference tools. And to refer to an Old Testament passage, it was not just scrolling through your Bible or, you know, even flipping a compiled book. It was poring over large scrolls that you had to unroll to find that specific verse. And much more effectively would be to have it all in memory. That's why people like Paul and people like Apollos, well, they were such important resources, you may say, for the church at the point of time to be able to mightily convince the Jews, meaning that you had to have that whole database of the scriptures in your mind, and then to be able to pull them out, if necessary, to correlate to all the prophecies concerning Christ and to explain, as the Apostle Paul did and demonstrated in so many of his sermons, right? That all these things, yes, they speak of Christ. And how exactly the scripture presents itself as one united word of God. So Apollos could do that. Because Apollos was one who desired always to serve the Lord more effectively, better. And he would, I'm sure, spend time studying the word of God. Not just, you know, after Aquila and Priscilla taught him and said, okay, that's it, I know very well, I know enough and I'm good to go. No, he will continue to increase in learning, because that's what a wise man does. A wise man will hear and will increase in his learning. He will continually study the word of God, continually grow. That's how they can be so much more effective to the Lord. As I mentioned just now, to the point where he was comparable, or maybe in the eyes of some, even better than Paul. Because later on, we're going to see that there will be problems, issues arising in Corinth. And I'll say, not because of any fault of Apollos, not through any fault of the Apostle Paul, it was due to the divisive nature of the people at Corinth. Paul had to rebuke them. Right? But what was happening then was that there were people within the church that now started to say, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. They sort of divided themselves into certain factions, factions within the church. I'm a supporter of Paul. Oh, Paul's the one that preached the gospel first to me. You know, he's the one that, you know, helped me to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I support him. And others were saying, no, I think Apollos is better. Apollos is the one that came and taught us. He was mighty in scriptures and learned. He was so eloquent. What a gifted preacher. Oh, I support him. And of course, that was all foolishness on the part of the church at Corinth. And Paul had to rebuke them in their letters about that. I'm sure Apollos tried to quell, you know, such divisions among the church also, as and when he saw such problems arising. Sadly, I mean, we do see that sort of party spirit at times in churches even. And that becomes extremely unpleasant. And most of the time, I mean, sometimes, yes, it is a fault of the leader. He draws men unto himself and he pits himself against another. But sometimes through no fault of the leaders also. They just, you know, sort of develop an allegiance, so to speak, or they become almost like fanboys, as the term goes, right? Like they see, oh, this is my hero. This is, you know, my beloved pastor. And this is the one that I support no matter what. That really ought not to be. You see, our allegiance is not to man. As Paul would have to rebuke them. Say that, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Are we all not just servants, ministers of the Lord? And if anyone, we just turn to support the Lord himself. And then support the ministers of the Lord. But what that showed was that, you see, his popularity and his ability really shone to the point where people looked to him and says, well, I'd rather be a follower of the Apollos than of Paul. Of course, that was not a right way to think, because they all should just have been supporters and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But it did demonstrate his ability. Right? That in coming to Corinth and in preaching there and serving there, the people responded well to his ministry. People loved him. Why? Because he was a person who would continually learn, a person who had a desire to serve the Lord with zeal, with fervency of spirit. You see that firstly through his humility and his desire to keep on learning. And that becomes an example to all of us, isn't it? We want to be wise, I'm sure. But will we be, or will we have the desire to keep on learning? To keep on learning, to learn more and more. And at no point will we ever, in our pride, think that, oh, I know enough. I don't need to learn anymore. I don't need to study anymore. sadly, this sort of tendency comes the older we become. When we are young, we know that we are inexperienced. We know that we have much to learn. So we go to school, we go to Sunday school. We learn and we are receptive because we know that the teachers know far more than us. But the older we become, and as we start to come into positions of leadership, or in a position where we're instructing others, like the like Apollos was in, that's when we then have that tendency to think that, oh, I know enough. Oh, now I'm a teacher. Oh, can the students teach the teachers? No, the teacher is the one that needs to teach the students, right? So we then have that tendency to think that, well, I don't need to learn any longer. Maybe we don't actively think that way, but subconsciously, that becomes the mode that we adopt. Oh, I am now more senior. I am very experienced. And therefore, yes, I need to teach, but I don't quite need to learn anymore. And we never reach that point in our lives, that all our lives, we will continue to be wise. We will continue to learn. And that is how we can be effective servants of the Lord. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. We thank Thee for the example of Apollos, a wise, a faithful, and a humble servant of Thine, who through his humility is able to receive wisdom even more so and become that much more effective for Thee in His service. Lord, we pray for all of us. Thou will also help us to be teachable, help us to desire to increase in our learning, to know that we must actively seek out ways and means in which we can increase in our understanding of Thee and understanding of the Word of God, that we would want and have a desire to participate in Bible studies, that we will read and study the Word of God ourselves daily, and that we will seek out avenues by which we can increase in learning. So we pray that Thou place that wisdom within us, with a yearning and desire to increase in our wisdom. We thank Thee for this time this morning. In Jesus' blessed name we pray.